if you're motivated to change and if you want to change, you have to show up because no one else is going to show up for you. And as soon as you know that you actually have the power to just go to a Bible study or go take a class, or you can go to the library, you just have to show up in some way for yourself.
Welcome to the Imperfectly Empowered podcast with leading DIY lifestyle blogger, Anna Fulmer, where women are inspired with authentic stories and practical strategies to reclaim their hearts and homes by empowering transformation, one imperfect day at a time.
Welcome to another episode of the Imperfectly Empowered podcast. I'm your host, Anna Fulmer. Today, it is my pleasure to introduce you to Kristen Stockdale. Kristen is the owner and CEO of Stockdale Designs, which is a hospitality-focused event firm specializing in celebrations, conferences, and seminars. Kristen's team has been making group moments special for almost 2 decades. She is also the co-founder and owner of the Haven Conference, which is a nationally renowned annual event for DIY influencers and bloggers. I have already benefited from Kristen's tireless DIY spirit. She is an inspiration. She has helped many of us transform our homes through the Haven Conference. Welcome the woman who has already taught me so much and who rocks brightly colored dresses like no one else, Kristen Stockdale. Hi, Kristen. Welcome to the podcast.
Good morning, Anna. How are you?
Hi, good. This is so fun to have you here. I have to tell a little story about you. Very first remember meeting you at a small retreat in Waco, Texas. That was the first time that I met you. It was a small retreat for influencers, bloggers. I learned so much. And it's really when I first transitioned in my mind from seeing my blog as a hobby to a business. So that retreat definitely stands out to me. But I remember meeting you and having two thoughts. One, I remember thinking, this woman rocks a brightly colored dress like no one I've ever seen.
Well, thank you.
You're so cute. You just always, your personality is bright. Your clothing is bright. But I also, along those lines, I remember being in like a group Zoom meeting with you, and you were helping us prepare for the Haven Conference, which we'll talk some more about. And you were the first person that I've ever heard say in this like virtual space, dress on brand.
Yes.
And I remember thinking like, that would have never, ever crossed my mind to dress on brand. And anyway, you are very consistent. Your personality is bright. Your brand is bright. Your clothing is bright. You rock it.
Thank you.
Anyway, so that's
And then that here today I have like fall clothes on, but
yeah, but you've got bright flowers in the background and yellow
there
wall.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Yes. Well, it's so true, right? If your inside and outside need to kind of reflect each other. So I try my best to live that way.
Yeah. Well, you do. You do. And you rock it. The thing is, some of us could dress on brand and look terrible doing it, which you do not. So anyway, that was one of the first things that I remember. So we'll talk a little bit more about your business and how it got started. But something that I want to highlight, we talk about this a lot on this podcast, is it is so easy for people to just see the curated outcome of years and years of struggle and challenges. And that's not what really gets highlighted. We just see those brightly colored, put together people. And you speak in front of hundreds of people every year at the Haven Conference. You are the co-founder of it. You own it now. You organize other events. And it would be so easy for somebody to see this incredibly successful woman behind a mic and miss the story that got you there. And that's the part that I just love hearing from other people and highlighting that. So we're going to press rewind a little bit. And first of all, talk about, were you always the little girl who was running around in brightly colored dresses wanting to create and design? Or tell me a little bit about how your early years got you
here. Yeah. So I was always the little girl who dreamed about being a New York City stiletto wearing sophisticated woman, right? Obviously, God has way different plans for me. So you just
roll
with it.
You're still the stiletto wearing sophisticated woman, though.
But that's kind of a new, because that's always what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
It finally, just like what you were saying, it's a road and it can be really windy and curvy. But I finally kind of have arrived where I can say, okay, this is what I want to broadcast and this is what I want to share with the world. So it's a lovely space to be in. But yes, it definitely was a road to get here.
Yeah. But you loved the brightly colored dresses even as a little girl. Like you were wanting to be the stylist.
Yes. Yes. Fashion. So I remember we were latchkey kids. I have a sister and I, and we were total latchkey kids. And my mom would make sure that we had all the crafts and all the things to do because what would she say? Busy hands. Basically, we wouldn't get in trouble if we were busy.
Yeah.
And so I would draw with pastels. I wanted to be a fashion designer. Very, very little. I wanted to be a fashion designer. And so I would draw with pastels, you know, these sketches and all that good stuff. So yes, I guess that from a little age, I've wanted to kind of stand out a little bit.
And then you went to school. What did you go to school for originally?
Architecture. And that, so kind of that design led into interior design. And I would sit after doing all my homework, have you from high school, I would sit and just do dream plans about designing homes on the cliffs of California.
So tell me about where you went to school. What did you go to school for originally?
So originally I wanted to be an interior designer. So that fashion design kind of just led into interior design with a lot of hobby time designing floor plans for homes that were like on the cliffs of California. And I found myself going through Architectural Digest and House Beautiful and just ripping out pages that would look beautiful living rooms and kind of did like mood boarding basically. Yeah. And then, so my dad said, if you want to be respected in interior design, you have to go to school for architecture. That way you can speak the language, you can read the blueprints, you can do all that jazz. So I ended up in Ohio. I was a salesman's brat too. So we moved all over the place. So when that time came, I was in Ohio. So we went to Ohio State and architecture program, here I am. So, and it was great. It was such an amazing experience. I don't know how much my dad was right. I don't think I needed to go to architecture school to be an interior designer, but it was a blast. And it, man, you have to have thick skin. And so I do believe I learned a lot of life lessons.
Yeah. And then, so from school, you have shared before that life threw you some curveballs, which doesn't it throw us all some curveballs, but share a little bit about some of those curveballs that you were thrown early on that maybe weren't necessarily in your plans.
Okay. Yeah. So the biggest one was my oldest daughter, Olivia.
No small deal. Just a child.
Yeah. Just a child. But what an amazing blessing. But at the time I was 20. And even though I was 20, and that might be a very normal age for a lot of women to have children, in my nuclear family with my parents and my friends and my peer group, it wasn't normal. And I was definitely the first. I felt very much like a teenage mother. And so all of that was huge. And it just changed my life path tremendously. Yeah. Definitely at the time, and I would say for the first couple months of Olivia's life, the future was just very, very unknown and scary. But then just as you go and as you have faith, things start to happen. And I started to actually, I transitioned schooling to, I moved down to Georgia. That's where her daddy, I met him during a summer at home. And so I moved down to Georgia. Mm-hmm. And so that led me into a technical program because I did not want to stop being a student.
Were you still in school?
Yes.
When you got pregnant? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're still in school. What year were you in college?
Junior.
Yeah,
so I was so in the program. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And such
not
a
expecting to get pregnant.
Was that?
I said, and not expecting to get pregnant. That was not part of, right?
No, not
That's
at all.
That's a lot.
Not at all. I was on my way to New York City as far as I was concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. And then moving down to Georgia, never living in the South. And because we were poor, we were very young children, basically uneducated. We moved up to a small town named Dahlonega, which at the time, so this was 27 years ago, whatever.
Yeah. I'm not counting, somewhere around there.
It was, right? It was not the quaint, cute little, I take that back. It is still and was a cute, quaint town, but now it's kind of more hip. It wasn't then.
I get that.
I was a total fish out of water, but I found myself studying horticultural design, which I did not realize how much I had a passion for gardening. And then that translates into like my mental health. Now I go outside and garden whenever I just need to think, I need to respond to something that I'm not comfortable responding to, that kind of thing. I found being outside and digging in the dirt is my place.
Mm. Were you in a horticulture program or was it, you were in a horticultural program?
Yeah. So I transitioned from Ohio State to a local tech school.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, that does something to your psyche too. So my whole mind was just like, you are the biggest loser on the planet. But it now, like even then, I mean, I kind of transitioned out of that mind frame, right? But looking back at it now, I'm so grateful.
Yeah. Well, and there's probably, I mean, correct me and feel free to make sure I'm not speaking words that aren't yours, but I feel like there could be a sense of almost shame. And a feeling of, you know, I think there's so many of us, especially if you have dreams and you're the type of woman that is like a go-getter and you have these ideas of what your sense of worth will look like, how it will play out. Like, I will be successful at X, Y, Z. And it's almost like you're proving, not just to yourself, but to other people. And then all of a sudden that gets, you have to take like a pretty severe sharp turn the other direction. Talk to me a little bit about, because I think there's a lot of people listening, even if you're not in your 20s, I think this can happen to us in our 30s, in our 40s, in our 60s. I think at any age, you can wrestle with that sense of almost feeling ashamed that you're not fulfilling the dreams that you set out to fulfill, or sense of like, am I enough? What's my sense of worth? Talk to me a little bit about that mindset that you experienced and how you started to kind of conquer that challenge.
Yeah. Oh, I love that question. Okay. So definitely I was full of shame. And like I said, the expectations and disappointment from my parents were not hidden from me. Mm. And we were such a tight family. So I had a lot of that shame riding on my shoulders. Plus my peer group, I was so embarrassed to even tell them. So moving down to Georgia, I just basically left. So then fast forward a couple years and my in-laws loved me. The girl's dad, we were married and he really gave me the confidence to be creative, which was nice. So just leaning into that creative part of me really started mending my mind back. Mm. And then fast forward about 5 years after Madison, maybe six or seven years, we planned to have another daughter. So 2 years after Olivia, we had Madison. And then when she went back to, she started public school, I went to start work for, I apprenticed underneath an interior designer. And she, another woman, so woman to woman is amazing, the impact we have on each other. Hmm. And she really, so I mean, for about 6 or 7 years, I lived with a very real sense of shame. Hmm. And then she just poured into me quite a bit and confidence. She gave me the confidence. I would draw up plans. I would create mood boards. She rarely didn't like what I did. And if she didn't like it, she would give creative criticism and not, it wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. So I really am abundantly grateful to her. Along with that was a beautiful Bible study that I started taking with Beth Moore. Mm-hmm. And she talks all about shame. And
what's the Bible study name? Do you remember it?
Oh gosh, I knew you'd ask that. I'll have to get back to you on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me know. I'll make sure it's in our show notes.
Yes. Yes. I definitely will. It was beautiful. It's a Beth Moore. I'll let you know.
No worries. Yeah.
But that was super helpful. So then, and that was probably only 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was relatively new in my life.
Tell me really quick out of that Bible study, do you have any memory? Like, were there things in particular about shame that were kind of breakthroughs for you? Like, were there truths communicated that you can think of off the top of your head that for somebody experiencing that now, what did you take away from that Bible study that you could offer somebody who's maybe struggling now?
Basically that it is not up to society. We're wearing a jacket of shame. that society has put on us. God, on the other hand, if we're going to be his light, we need to wear the crown that we are deserving of. And that, like, his love, oh, I'm going to cry. His love is so beautiful. You can just shed that jacket that society is making you wear and put the crown on, you know, because you deserve it. And we all do. We, as women, as men, you know, everybody deserves to wear our crowns.
That's beautiful. I love that sense of, what's interesting too, is I think sometimes, like, we almost hold on to the jacket. It's like, we don't even know what it's like to take it off. We're almost afraid to live without that shame. Yes. And I love this idea that you often don't feel worthy of the crown. And I give a hearty amen to that sense of, I don't necessarily feel like I deserve the crown. And maybe you could argue I don't, but because of what Jesus has done for me, I can wear that crown proudly and allow that to truly shed that sense of shame and replace it with grace and hope.
Exactly.
I love that illustration.
And I feel like it's our duty as women of Christ to wear that crown, because when we're wearing it, that's when we're sharing the light. If we're being loaded down by this jacket, that's what we're sharing.
Right.
You know, and I don't want to share dark and gloom and doom. I want to share the light.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's a choice. I mean, it's a choice.
Absolutely.
So
it's like everything. You wake up in the morning and you can decide to get dressed for the day or wear your sweatpants all day long. Like, you make the choice. And so you have to wake up and decide, are you going to put on a jacket of shame and sadness and hopelessness, or do you put on the crown?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's not up to my next door neighbor to tell me what I get to wear. It's up to me. And that truth, being up to me, is liberating, you know, and you find yourself, this is a little bit of a tangent, but once that really seeps in to be a truth, you no longer care that Jody is driving the Porsche.
Amen.
Like, you don't want it. You're happy with the Honda that's in the driveway. Yeah. And it is amazing once you truly feel that, how just abundantly abundant our lives are. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Something that I tell my followers, my clients, my fitness nutrition clients hear me say it, is this sense that you cannot be redefined. You can only be redeveloped, because you were defined the moment that God knit you together in your mother's womb. You were infused with infinite worth from that very moment by a divine creator and defined instantly. Nothing you or I can do can add to or detract from that worth.
Right.
We can only be redeveloped. And it's exactly what you're saying. And that sense that you and I can't change our value. It's already been given to us, period. Our definition has been set. But it's the choices that we make day to day that can redevelop that, living out of that worth and your uniqueness, et cetera. And so I love what you're saying there. That speaks to the heartbeat of mine and this podcast and everything. I think that's beautiful.
Yes. Yes.
I love it.
Aw.
So you did the Bible study. I loved tangent. That was a great tangent.
I know.
My day's just made brighter because of that tangent. So you had this Bible study, which I absolutely love, the power of mentorship, the power of hearing truth from somebody else is what I'm hearing here. And that was, you said, only like 10 years ago.
Right. So I always, just staying real quick on the Christian track, I always had a connection. Jesus was kind of always, I felt him walking next to me. Mm. We did not go to church very often as a family. My dad would read the Bible. We would say our nightly prayers. Mm. So that was kind of the household. It was a little bit loose. But so then I found myself, after a couple more curveballs, just in this state, like craving God. And so I started going to church on a regular basis, very intimidated to join Bible study because I had never really read the Bible. I thought that only really good women went to Bible study. And, you know, I had a beautiful church home and they encouraged everybody. They shared, they shed that shame again. You don't have to be a perfect woman to go to Bible study. You can be any old soul and show up. And so I did. I took a chance and showed up, and my life has never been the same since.
I love that statement right there. I want that quote pulled out, this idea that you took a chance, you showed up, and your life has never been the same. I love that concept right there. We could end it now and we're good.
Right.
I love that though. It's that sense of you don't know. Take a chance.
It's so true.
Yeah.
And I think that's so true with anything in life. Yes. You have to, if you're motivated to change and if you want to change, you have to show up. You have to show up for yourself because no one else is going to show up for you. And I think that's what I always was kind of depending on somebody else to come into my life and change my world. And as soon as you know that you actually have the power to just go to a Bible study or go take a class or go to the library. I mean, there are so many free resources as well. So you don't have to spend the $179 on a class to learn how to a water symposium or water garden.
Right.
You can go to the library. And so it's just, you just have to show up in some way for yourself.
Yeah. Now, how did you translate that into then the business that you're currently into? Because you clearly showed up.
Yeah. So, okay. So just getting back to that moment that I was apprenticing in the interior design office. So that then led me to open up my own shop about 3 years into that. Had my own shop for a couple years. Divorce from the girl's daddy came along and I could not, like, I'm sure that if you've ever owned a brick and mortar, it is stressful and it's like highs and lows. There's so much responsibility financially. Yeah. I couldn't be the PTA mom, run a shop, be a full-time interior designer. I just couldn't do it all. So the shop unfortunately failed. That's another roadblock as I felt like I failed.
Yeah.
And my sweet mom, at that moment, she was like, if you never fail, you have nothing to make a comeback from. Yeah. And I love that she said that to me because my mom was always somebody that I needed to impress.
I love the quote that you just said from your mom. If you never fail, you have nothing to make a comeback from.
Yes.
That should be like a line in every movie, like sports movie I've ever seen. I love that line.
And coming from my mom, which I always wanted to impress her, was huge. Yeah. And my road to mending that sense of failure. Mm. So then, okay, so with that shop, I retained my interior design clients and then they started hiring me for their weddings or their 50th anniversaries. And then I had one gal who hired me for her corporate Christmas party.
Mm.
And that was where the ball
that was it.
I put like 7 DIY ornaments and Christmas trees together in my garage around the clock, getting them ready to go. I designed a whole Christmas circus tent. I designed like 7 different woodland elf trails for the kids to find Santa. I had the best time.
That's an amazing party. Oh my gosh.
It was. I had a huge budget.
What a business party. Like
Yes. It was awesome. And that changed that I knew I was where I was at. So it was like a long curvy road. It's like fashion design, interior design, architecture to event design and planning. And I love the logistics. I love the design. Everything about an event, I love it. I cannot get enough of it.
Yeah. So I love that. Here you are. I love that. We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to play This or That with Kristen. And we're also going to hear her expert advice on event planning and how you can make your moments more special. And we're going to highlight some of Kristen's amazing. I'm going to tell you one way that you can make events more special that I have watched Kristen do, having been at the Haven Conference. So all that when we come back from this break. Save time. Get practical inspiration delivered to your inbox every month with exclusive access to the premier digital Women's Health and Home magazine. For just $14.99 a month, you will get delicious and nutritious recipes, essential cleaning and organization hacks, must-have product recommendations, helpful fashion ideas, practical DIY tutorials, creative fun for kids, home decor inspiration, stress-free entertaining tips, evidence-based health and wellness advice, productivity challenges with prizes, exclusive access to upcoming Imperfectly Empowered podcast guests, and exclusive access to bonus printables and templates on podcast show notes, giveaways, and so much more with this exclusive membership, the Imperfectly Empowered journal. Reclaim your heart and home with a digital health and home magazine full of practical strategies you can actually use. Want to try an issue for free? Visit www.hammersandhugs.com and click on the Imperfectly Empowered Journal tab to sign up for a free issue of the Imperfectly Empowered Journal today. We are back here with Kristen Stockdale. Kristen, we're going to play this or that. You'll get two choices. You don't have to think about it that hard. They're not super life-altering questions.
Okay.
M&Ms or Skittles? Well, maybe they are. This is a big deal. M&Ms or Skittles?
Skittles, all the way.
Candy or baked goods?
Oh, totally depends on the candy, but not chocolate candy. Truth.
Okay. Which is harder, planning a charity event or planning a conference?
I would say a charity event. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. What's been your favorite charity event?
I have done a gala that was like a derby inspired.
Oh,
that was a lot of fun. Honestly. All the women in their big hats. And
I love that.
Yes.
I love that. Channeling My Fair Lady.
Yes.
Okay. Paper planner or digital calendar?
Digital calendar.
Online shopping or shopping in a store?
Online.
Amen. Would you rather wear bright pink or bright red?
Oh, pink. I love red though. Both of those. That's
you
a hard
look
one.
Great in both.
That's hard.
I knew it would be for you. Flats or heels?
Heels.
Modern or vintage?
Oh, vintage. But I like it juxtaposed with modern. But vintage, yeah, I'm more comfy and cozy in a vintage space.
Yeah. New York or Paris?
Ooh, New York.
Pedicure or manicure?
Pedicure.
Yeah, amen. I had somebody the other day tell me they get pedicures, but without the foot massage.
What's the point?
Correct. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Give them to me. I feel like I should get some sort of voucher that says this person did not get their foot massage and I want
to. Right. So you get the extra 10 minutes. You need a little coupon.
Seriously, who are these strange people? Oh my goodness. Well, I love event planning. I joke to my husband that I want to get married again just simply so I can plan another wedding. I mean, I'm happy to get married to him again. I don't need a new guy. Let's just be really clear.
Not a new partner. Just a festivities.
I just want to plan another wedding. But so we have two girls. So thankfully that is hopefully in my future.
Solid. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So for some practical advice here, can you share? Hosting is really stressful for a lot of women. I love it. And I don't think I ever appreciated how stressed a lot of women really feel about having people into their home, maybe not immediate family, but like hosting a party for friends to come. Mm-hmm. I just truly did not appreciate how much stress that really inspires in a lot of women, let alone a bigger event. Can you share with us some of your top tips, kind of event planning 101, and how to make it less stressful and more enjoyable? That is a loaded question, but do you think of anything that comes to your mind to help women listening who that might be like, oh my gosh, hosting sounds terrible?
Immediately, if you have any kind of additional space in your home, set up a folding table. And whenever you're comfortable, I generally start like, so for Christmas, we do like 5 different events that are hosted here because, like you said, some people don't like it. I love it. So I have a table out in my garage that's set up and I have like spaces. So if I'm at the store and I can go ahead and buy the olives and the dried cranberries and all the dried goods or canned goods that don't need to be refrigerated, I put them in their slot, like Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, New Year's, da, 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 da. So I keep everything organized and I'm not going to the grocery store 7 times for 4 events. I'm going once with a whole dry goods list for all my events. So that I love. I try to do everything as far as wrapping. So again, in my family, we do Christmas before Christmas because it was way too much pressure when you have divorce and divorce again. It's just way too much pressure on my children. So I was like, you know what? It doesn't have to be on Christmas Day. It can be the weekend before. Mm-hmm. I think if you release yourself from that, it's kind of a bigger overall. But if you release yourself from the pressure of it has to be on Christmas, otherwise it's not Christmas, then that's huge. Yeah. So we do the weekend before and I have all of my little tiny gifts that we do for Christmas Eve wrapped way in advance. I again set them on that table, you know, and so being organized is huge. Pre-planning in the details. I think people, maybe you've heard this before because I think it's a little cliche, but people really remember how you felt when you're at their home. So remember that in the details, you don't have to stress over name tags unless it's very important that such and such doesn't sit right next to such and such because everyone's just going to sit down.
Right.
So don't stress over those type of details. Stress over like your welcome, maybe your welcome drink, because that's going to welcome everybody into your home and make them feel like they were special because you immediately greeted them with something unique.
I love that.
So
yeah. So let me reiterate for people listening. So you set up, I think a garage is a great space to talk about. Like pull your cars out of your garage, make space, even if you have a tiny one car garage, make space there. And then you set up folding tables to help organize. Maybe it's just one event. Somebody could use it for one event, or maybe it's several, like the holidays or even the spring or the summer. Like if you're having graduation parties and birthday parties. And, you know, so for those of you listening and watching, like think through the time of year where hosting is the most stressful for you and apply this. So you put out folding tables and then you basically put everything that is like a dry good.
Yes.
On that table for that event, everything. Yes.
Cocktail napkins, if it's a paper plate or a plastic plate or china.
In one spot.
Yeah, all one spot. That way, I only think about it once. I'm not thinking about it five times. And I think that's the biggest trick. Try to do whatever helps you not continuously think about the same thing.
Yeah, so work ahead.
Think about it once.
Yep.
Use your Excel sheet, menu planning, what have you. And yeah, go to town. But I think just doing whatever tools in your toolbox to think about the event one time and knock it off. That's all.
I will also throw out one of the things that I have a lot of posts on my blog about hosting and entertaining. And one of the things that I also recommend to people is maximize the use of a deep freezer. A lot of people don't realize how many things can be frozen ahead of time. And I'll give an example. I host a Christmas fondue every year. And I buy my cheese from Costco like 2 weeks in advance and I freeze it. Nobody knows any differently. I make the chocolate fondue. I usually make a week ahead of time. That's also, I can't do that with the cheese, but the chocolate can be made ahead of time and frozen and just reheated. Nobody ever knows. Now everybody will know.
Now everybody knows. But you know what?
Everybody knows.
I use that too. And again, keep that space organized. So I already have, we don't do the typical ham and turkey. We do a goose and salmon because I'm a pescatarian in my family. Love so it. I already have a huge piece of salmon and I already have the goose there in the freezer and they're together with, I'm going to do the goose with the peaches and cherries. So I bought frozen peaches and frozen cherries. Mm-hmm. They're together. Everything is right there. So I don't have to think about how am I going to cook that goose again? Am I doing potatoes, carrots, and what? What am I doing? It's there. I don't have to think about it again. And so yeah, I think that's huge, the deep freezer. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That's amazing. And I'll take it a step further with her expanding on her idea. Something else that you could do is those clear plastic storage bins, the like freezer or the fridge drawers that are those plastic clear. That's something else that you could do is like Kristen's saying, she organizes her ingredients in the freezer. You could do the same thing in your fridge. Again, if you're really stressed out, like get one of those plastic drawers, put it in your fridge, and then have all the ingredients that you need for whatever dinner in that one drawer and stack them up, label it dinner. It's that idea of bundling.
Yes. Yeah. For like a jewel tone salad. So you'd have your pecans, your mandarin oranges, your cranberries, blueberries, poppy seed dressing, spinach, boop, all together.
Love it. Pull out your drawer, make it. That's such a great tip. And then I also want to highlight what you just said, that people remember how they feel when you come into your home. And I actually just did an article for American Farmhouse Style. I met them at the Haven Conference and was really honored to be featured. And one of the things that we talked about is the idea that home decor is less what you see and it's more how you feel.
Yes.
It's that sense of when you walk into a home, it's not just about what you are seeing, but it's about how you're feeling. So it's a multi-sensory experience. And at the end of the day, you could have the ugliest couch in the world, but somebody could leave your home feeling like that was the coziest, most welcoming home I've ever been to. And that's the point of home
decor.
So when you are saying to remember to keep in mind, it's how a guest feels, not necessarily what they see. It doesn't have to be a perfect home. Can you offer some tips to help with that multi-sensory experience that might be really simple ways that a woman could make her home feel just a little bit more cozy, a little bit more welcoming without breaking the budget? You don't have to hire an interior designer.
No, no, you don't. What are
some things that come to mind?
Okay. So one is skip the small little detail that you think is really, really important. It's not, because you being happy when you open that door or when people come into your home, you being happy is ultimate. You can have nothing, but you being happy is what is needs to happen.
I love that.
So set yourself up there for success. That's one. Not breaking up. I think cozy. So this time of the year, cozy blankets add a lot of warmth just aesthetically. Mm. Let's see. Totally caught me off guard here.
I know. This is what I always do. I throw these questions. So it's like very spontaneous.
No, I love it. So not breaking the bank. I think lighting. We all have lights. So at Costco, they now have, used to be, I don't remember the brand, but it used to be in a very expensive brand that you could do smart bulbs and they would kind of dim and all different colors and what have you. But now they're getting less and less expensive and you can do smart bulbs if you have an Alexa and she can make like an amber glow.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you might be able to buy just amber light bulbs. Like if you didn't want to do the whole
like Alexa
smart light thing.
Yeah.
And light bulbs are fairly inexpensive. I think warmth, however you need to add it, but lighting is big and that's just your light bulbs.
Yeah.
Let's see. So lighting, blankets, I think blankets over the corners of your chairs, maybe an extra pop of color in a pillow. You can get pillows very inexpensively. The covers online, and then you can just use the same pillow and just do your covers, interchange them.
Definitely more comfortable too on sofas. That's just a very simple, and you can't have too many throw pillows.
Exactly. And it keeps people from feeling like they can set in a little bit and not just sit up straight. So,
and get more comfortable. I also want to make a DIY note for that ambient lighting. I wrote a post to kind of breaking down lighting, and what Kristen is touching on is that sense of what really adds that kind of higher end sense of cozy is the low lighting.
Yes.
And it's exactly what you're talking about. It's less about all of the like bright lights and fancy fixtures, but it's more the ability to create a low light and an ambient light in your home. You can also replace most switches very inexpensively to add a dimmer. A lot of people don't realize that, but just consider switching out one of your light switches, whether it be the like chandelier above your table or maybe one of the lights in your kitchen or in your living room, and you can actually dim it. So most switches, you're able to do that, and you can ask an electrician. It's not that expensive to do, or DIY it, Google it.
Yeah, you can totally Google it. It's, we've done that with almost every single switch in our house, just because lighting is huge to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great tip. Another thing that comes to mind is music is like one of the easiest ways.
Yes.
That's like an event planning 101. And it's almost like you don't even think about it. It's almost just like an assumed, of course, there's going to be music, but a lot of people don't think about it in their house. Like that's what makes the local commercials so awkward. There's no music.
Exactly. And then you don't even think about how much a low background noise inspires organic conversation.
That's so true.
Otherwise, you're sitting there in this awkward, very silent conversation, and then you feel pressure, and the pressure is what kills it, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. I've actually never thought about that. That is true. It kind of takes some of the pressure off.
Exactly. Yeah. It's no longer awkwardly silent, or like all of a sudden a great song comes on and you're like, oh my gosh, I love this song. And then that spurs on the conversation. So it is.
That's true. I love that. Yeah. Candles, another easy way.
I love candles. Yeah.
Oh, and me too.
Those remote candles are getting extremely affordable now too.
Mm-hmm. And let me like light flickering.
Yes. They look pretty real. If you
I should never do this again. I don't know what this was.
I knew.
Pretend I didn't do that. That's very weird. Yeah. Those ones. Those light flickering.
I love them. I love them.
Yeah. I was actually at a little, this was several years ago. My husband and I took a Christmassy bed and breakfast stay in downtown Baltimore. And when I walked in, I instantly felt this sense of like, this is the coziest room I've ever been in. And I realized all he did was he simply layered tons and tons of those candles of all different like pillar heights in between Christmas decor.
Yeah.
Like they were everywhere. It was the simplest thing. And you could do that on a side buffet, like just put like red and green or whatever season it is. Those little lights are perfect and there's no flame.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Those are a great idea.
Exactly. There's no worry about somebody reaching over on a buffet to get their food to burn themselves and what have you. So yeah, I think it adds an amazing amount.
Yeah. What about with kids? Do you have any like tips for people with kids or the things that you think about? Like if you're hosting a bunch of people and there's kids included, does that change how you...
A little bit. No, not really. So we always have children around, like always. And so I lean a little bit more towards like that warm, masculine elegance. Like that's kind of my style. So I always lean towards that, but for the adults. So for the children, I stock up at the dollar store. I get those light up.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yes. And anytime anything's on clearance, like after Easter, after Christmas, after Halloween, I am the first one in line to get those quarter toys, whatever, because that way I have a basket of all this new stuff that can be totally thrown away because it costs me a quarter after they leave or they can take
it home,
whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so bubbles are huge in this house. Well, not inside. We outside on the porch, I have a little bubble machine and it doesn't matter how many times the same child has been over here. They want that bubble machine on.
I love that.
So that's good. I always have a room upstairs that is stocked with Hot Wheels and tracks. They can keep themselves busy. Everybody that comes over knows that they can immediately come upstairs. And that way it keeps the adults like they're not underfoot. That adults can chit chat. For a child's planned party, like for a birthday party or Easter egg hunt, where the children are like the main focus.
Yeah.
You just always kind of want to keep it going. I know that sounds stressful, but again, with a little bit of pre-planning. So for an egg hunt, or well, I guess Christmas Eve is coming, right? So for Christmas Eve, we're going to do a hot cocoa bar that I know that they're just going to have a blast with. They'll make it messy. I don't care. And I think that you have to let some things go when children are involved. Plastic, nothing's going to be glass.
Yes. So
we'll do a hot cocoa bar and go outside, sit by the bonfire, sit under a blanket. They'll tell I engage with them and I'll ask them, let's go around and tell our favorite stories of Christmas, that kind of thing. Then we move on to dinner. Now for dinner, I'm going to have garlic mashed potatoes and gravy. For the children, I'm not going to add so much garlic. I'll have the special recipe on the side for them. And my expectation is for them to engage in conversation, but they're going to be antsy.
Yeah.
So I think setting yourself up with children just for expectations to be realistic.
Yeah. I like that balance. I think what you're communicating is this sense of balance where you can still think ahead, pre-plan, have some ideas in mind, or else you do feel stressed. And it's like anything, kids are going to pick up on that as well. And I think that's an easy way to make, I mean, I think about even my parents, when my parents have my kids overnight, they often have ideas of things they're going to do with them.
Exactly.
You know, and it's not impersonal, like don't mishear us. It's not that you're like creating this very structured at 10 o'clock, we do this, 12 o'clock, we do this. It's more like you just have kind of these tools in your tool belt that when they're getting wild and antsy, it's like, you know what? Why don't we have Play-Doh time?
Exactly.
Like have some ideas in
mind. It key. That is so perfect. And you already are foreseeing that that's going to happen because it is. And so you already have it like in those plastic shoe boxes ready in your laundry room or wherever in your garage to pull out immediately. So that way you're not being pulled away from hostess mode. Right. You're actually doing your best hostess moves.
I love that. I love that idea. So those little like plastic shoe boxes with the Play-Doh or all the coloring stuff or bubbles or all the dollar store, you can like hit up the dollar store and then organize them. These are the bubbles. These are the coloring. These are the toys that I'm going to chuck as soon as these kids leave.
And STEM projects, I don't know how long STEM has been around, but if you Google a couple of those are fantastic. And they keep those babies busy, you know, and intrigued. So I think that's key too. Keeping them intrigued is key.
I love that.
Especially constantly coming at you.
Yeah. And avoiding the screen situation. Cause then it's always like, we'll just turn on a movie. But you know, at the end of the day, it's like, well,
and I have nothing
against that at home.
I have nothing against tablets, nothing against any of that. But hey, I only get them for a little tiny, you know, my children are grown. Right. I have my first little grandbaby.
Oh my gosh, congratulations.
Yes.
So that is exciting.
3 months old.
Oh my word. Congratulations. Oh.
Yeah. So I only get these little rugrats for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Like once every other week or so. So yeah, they don't bother. Like I want to have things for them to do. And I want coming to Kiki's house to be special.
Yeah. I think so many of those are really, really great tips. We'll make sure that these are on the show notes too, as well. So that's awesome for hosting within your home. I wanted to really highlight that because most people are not going to plan massive events for hundreds of people.
Right.
And it's realistic that they're going to be within the home. However, there are some of us who plan events for hundreds of people. So I talked a little bit about the Haven Conference. The bottom line is you co-founded it with several other women years ago, and you now own it. Your company, Stockdale Designs, owns the Haven Conference.
Yes.
And for those people listening and watching who don't understand, it is specifically geared for DIY decor influencers and bloggers. It is very niched down and it is amazing. I mean, it is one of really the premier DIY decor conferences in the country, I would argue. People come from all over this. Yeah. And I had my first experience virtually. I have this up here.
In remembrance. I love it.
From COVID. And it just was very impressive what you guys pulled together virtually. And then last year was my first in-person event. And it is incredible. I mean, the amount of, you know, you have businesses that come in, Home Depot, Ryobi. I mean, there's so many that you're collaborating with and bringing in, not to mention speakers. And then you have mentors. What has been the greatest challenge that you can think of in making a conference like this happen? Can you think of a time that you were like, oh my gosh, I don't know if this is going to happen?
I would say, our third or fourth year, marketing is my big obstacle. And so it was like third or fourth year, tickets weren't sold. We were spoiled. We sold out within like a month every year before this. And tickets weren't selling, sponsors weren't coming out of the woodwork. And so those two things, which are the biggest financial, you know, the income to make the event happen, are always going to be the most stressful hurdles. But as far as planning it, I've not had an issue. Cause like I said, I mean, I work around the clock, happy as a clam planning. So it's really on the attendee and sponsor, the finances to be able to put it together.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. No,
I really answered your question, but
no, absolutely. No, it really did. I think marketing is always the hardest thing. I feel like for everybody, marketing is just always,
it's hard to say, hey, look,
I don't know anything about,
you know,
I'm terrible at marketing. marketing and sales. I'm a nurse practitioner, my trade. I don't know if you know that, but I've got two masters, like, you know, the medical world is really where all the letters behind my name come from. So business was like this totally new world for me. And I've realized that I am a terrible saleswoman. I'm really bad. Like if somebody doesn't want to buy it, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, me too.
That's I'm not gonna force you to buy it.
I remember meeting you too, by the way, the first time at that retreat, and just thinking you were absolutely adorable.
Oh, thank you.
You had it all going on. You knew you were focused. You knew what you wanted and needed. And yeah, I just cherished meeting you for the first time.
Oh, that's so sweet.
But at that same conference, I remember telling someone, because someone's like, well, I'm overwhelmed here, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to go to the Haven Conference. And I was like, well, don't. If you're overwhelmed here, I don't suggest you go. And Carianne was like, what are you doing?
That's exactly. Carianne's coming onto this podcast too. Y'all just wait till you meet Carianne.
Oh, yeah. She, you love her. Love her.
She's an excellent saleswoman, unlike myself.
She is, and her joy that she gives out is tremendous.
Yes. Yeah. So I hear you there. I mean, I just, sales are not my expertise. I'm like, you don't want to buy it? That's fine with me. Like, I'm not going to convince you. So I completely understand that challenge.
I think I need to go to a conference to learn that technique. That's
I'll go with you. Oh my gosh. You and me. You and me both. One of the things that is so inspiring is what I love about your story is that you've really fulfilled the dream that you had. I mean, you know, years ago when you wanted to become a designer and have this lasting impact, I love to see the paths that come together ultimately to lead you in the direction that you've been. And I just think about the thousands and thousands of men and women who have been impacted by the Haven Conference. I can't speak to the other ones that I know that you host as well. But one of the things that I want to say to you that you are so good at is there's one thing to plan an event. It's another thing to host an event. And at the live one last year, every time that I saw you, you came up and this was me among hundreds of people there. And you always asked, how are you doing? Do you need anything? Aww. And you know, that sticks out to me because there's, again, a difference between planning an event and hosting an event. And it is the rare people who are able to do both. And to me, that was a hostess question. And truly, if I had needed anything, you would have made it happen for me, or you would have found out what needed to happen in order to make that a reality. And I think that humble service-oriented approach to event planning and what you're doing, I just think it has created this lasting impact among thousands of men and women that you may never verbally be told, but I am telling you, I can already see, and I've only been to one Live Haven conference, the type of difference that a space like that is making. And I really think it starts with that service-oriented approach that you have in loving people. So I just thank you on behalf of the thousands of men and women who have been at the Haven conference. I'm sure they would all give a hearty amen right now if they could, that I really think your humble service-oriented spirit is what has truly made that a success, even more than your planning expertise, which is also significant.
That's amazing to hear. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And I don't, I appreciate that because I don't even look at it that way. I didn't even know. Yeah. So thank you.
It's easy to be on center stage in an event like that, which you could easily do. And you're so adorable because Kristen gets up and you can tell she'd rather be anywhere than on stage in front of hundreds of people.
Oh yeah.
You know, and
I would rather be getting you a Coca-Cola.
But the thing is, I really think that is what has created that very homey feel to this conference where it is it's just service-based. You have started that from the top down. You're there to serve. And I think that trickles down to all of us that are there, that we're there to serve, to teach and to learn. And that starts with you.
Exactly right. I think leading an audience comes with a huge responsibility, no matter the size of your audience. And, you know, again, going back to being the light, I want to be a role model for people. And I want to give, I just believe in my little corner of the world that will lead to some sort of a utopia, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you have created that. I mean, people love the Haven Conference. For any of you listening and watching, the Haven Conference is great for you. If you are somebody who is kind of an aspiring decorator, designer, you love creating things with your hands, you're a DIYer, even if you have no blog, no social media, no nothing, this is still an inspiring conference because you will learn so much. On the flip side, if you're an incredibly experienced blogger, influencer, this is also for you. It really is for people of all stages. So www.havenconference.com specifically to check out that conference. And where else can people find you, Kristen?
On Instagram at Haven Conference. And me personally, I don't keep up with my page as well as I should, but at Stockdale Design on Instagram. And then the other conference that we do is Workbench Con, and that is at Workbench Con. And WorkBenchCon is basically very similar format to Haven. It just has more. So the way I kind of, in a nutshell, is Haven is for the person that's going to paint the furniture or upcycle, where WorkBench is you're making the furniture.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the difference in a nutshell, and more vlogging and YouTube than
is
the blogging.
WorkBenchCon. Yeah. Okay. Yep. And we will have all these on the show notes on the blog at hammersandhugs.com from today's episode. That's www.havenconference.com and www.workbenchcon.com. And we'll have more of Kristen's information there too. Kristen, it has been an honor to have you on here. It really has. You've had, you know, a significant impact on my life already just by all of your hard work and your tireless DIY spirit. And I pray God's blessing over your home and your heart and just continued success for you.
Well, I cannot tell you. I am the honored one of being your guest here and being asked. It's so wonderful feeling. So I really appreciate it. And yes, your spirit and what you're doing is impacting so many. So thank you for all that you do.
Yeah. Thank you. Mwah. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Imperfectly Empowered Podcast. It is my honor to be here with you. I am so grateful for each and every one of you. If you are watching on YouTube, be sure to click the subscribe button below so you don't miss a show and leave a comment with your thoughts from today's episode below. If you are listening via your preferred podcasting platform, would you help keep us on the air by rating our show and leaving an honest review of your thoughts from today? In case you haven't heard it lately, your story matters and you are loved. This is your host, Anna Fulmer, and I will see you here next time on the Imperfectly Empowered Podcast.